coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting cell here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online. I'm live with you today. Got a little bit of paranormal, which is a nice way of saying abnormal. I got some abnormal things for you today. And a little bit of study of our prophet Joel from our King James Bible. But some things grabbed my attention the other day. I kind of perused the internet, and I've been saving some of this stuff in the background. I thought, you know, why don't I start using it, like on PMO? And then, you know, maybe I'll do a watchman on some of this stuff that I've been picking up on, especially here lately. I made the statement back in 2018, 2019, somewhere around in there, at the Red River Prophecy Conference, and I started talking about UFOs, started talking about cryptids, that is, different creatures that are making sightings and appearances on this earth. The Mothman, the Owlman, the Batman. No, I'm not making this up. Sightings. And you can go right to Scripture in Ezekiel 1 and other places. Sightings of humanoid creatures with wings. Now, if we're told in Scripture that be careful to entertain strangers, for we might be entertaining angels unaware. If we believe that the good angels can make appearances on this earth in the form of humans and possibly other creatures, if we believe that, then we must also be able to believe the opposite. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they were not speaking into the air, hearing a voice. They were speaking to a visible serpent who was speaking back to them. They could see it with their eyes. They could hear it with their ears. There are examples of people who are possessed of devils, and those devils will speak out of those people whom they possess. We have examples of that in the Scriptures. The Wisconsin parade killings, to me, that is the same, and I made a case for this back in 2005, 2006, 2007, somewhere around in there. I made a case for this, that the pilots of the various airplanes of 9/11 had to be possessed of principalities and power devils. They had to be. if you haven't been following the news, up in Wisconsin, we're having a Christmas parade. Usually, townships will hold them right after Christmas. And so I'm sure after, you know, last year, a lot of them were not held because of COVID. So this year, people decided, hey, let's have them. So up in Wisconsin, those good Lutherans up there said, we're having some Christmas parades. And this guy, and you got, listen, the justice system blew it. They made a mistake. This guy was already out on bond when he should have never been given bond, because he didn't show up for a court appearance, a trial appearance, by escaping to another state. When they arrest you again, and they arrested him again, what for? For trying to run down his wife in that same SUV. He tried to run her down in the same SUV. They arrested him and somehow made the mistake of, rather than giving him a $10,000 bond, which more than likely he wouldn't have been able to pay and he would still be in jail, they reduced it to a $1,000 bond, let him out, and he killed. So far, it's like 5 people. You got 40 people, including children, fighting for their lives. Some of them more than likely won't make it. But they're holding him on first-degree capital murder, which in most states carries the death penalty. And I hope, my hope is that he wants a jury trial. It's my hope. He has a right to it. He has a right to it, to a jury trial. And why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because a jury is going to find him guilty, meaning that he won't get a plea deal, meaning that he will be executed. It's in God's word. You say I'm a hate monger, you can call me whatever you want to. But right after the flood, when all of the animals and the people came off the ark, God said, Genesis chapter 9, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And then he says, if any man, if his blood is taken by any other man or beast, by man shall that man or beast's blood be taken from him. Capital punishment for capital murder. God established it even before he established the Mosaic law. So don't give me this garbage about, well, Jesus didn't favor capital punishment. Yeah, he did. He certainly did. In fact, he believed in it so much, he practiced it. He died so that we wouldn't have to. That's how much Jesus believed in it. He was God, remember? But anyway, the guy driving that car had a devil in him. There's no doubt in my mind that man had a devil in him. Now, I'm not giving him, and if you can't use that as a defense in court for what you did wrong, but it is an explanation of what happens when the powers of Satan begin to grow in our society. We start seeing things. We start hearing things. The internet is becoming full of videos of hauntings, poltergeist activity. Some of it, some of it is fake. Some of it does have a natural explanation, and sometimes I can see where the natural explanation could possibly be. But some of it's real. And you'll never be able to convince me otherwise because I believe what the Bible says. That everybody in this world is under the control of a prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Everybody, with the exception of those born again Christians. Now, that's who we're fighting. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We're fighting those principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're wrestling. When you've got people in your family that need to be saved, and everything you've tried won't change it, then go fight the battle spiritually. Don't try to reason with them anymore with it, because all you're going to do is like my choir director taught me. Mike, never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time, and it really annoys the pig. Now keep that in mind. It's almost like what Jesus said. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. Swine don't know what to do with pearls. If you put a pearl necklace on a pig with lipstick and earrings, what do you got? A pig. A piece of bacon. That's what you got. No more than that. So anyway, there are, and will continue to be, a growing amount of paranormal things that have and will continue to take place, and they will increase. How does the Bible put it? Seducers shall wax worse. Seducing spirits shall wax worse and worse. Their activities will increase. Teenagers doing things with Ouija boards, video recording it with their phones, and all of a sudden, doors start slamming across the house, lights start going on and off, they see shadow figures inside the house, and they're going, "What in the world?" Well, burn that stupid Ouija board for crying out loud. God said, "Don't." That's divination. Don't have anything to do with it. And that's why he told us not to have anything to do with it. Because the most evil of all spirits show up when that stuff comes out. And I'll tell you this, devil's number one tool against anybody, lost or saved, is fear. Trying to instill fear in people. That they can harm you, that they can kill you in some way, that they can take away your life, they can suck the breath out of you, they can claw you to death, they can, you know, we've watched a lot of monster movies, scary movies, you know, since the 50s, and we've seen Jason get up, you know, at the end of every movie, he's alive again, and Michael Myers of the Halloween movies, he's alive at the end of the movie, he's not dead, and Freddy Krueger, and all of these guys, that's just from the 80s. I quit watching those movies then. I didn't watch any of them through the 90s. The Scream series, What else? Annabelle, the Annabelle series, which is based on some true stories. But anyway, let me show you this. This is from a Fox News story. A guy had a camera system put up around his house, and it's triggered by movement. Whenever something appears in the camera turns on and records either a photograph or a live video. Now, apparently this only recorded a photograph because there's two pictures with this image in it. But let me show you the image now. This is the man's truck. And then take a look at what has appeared on his security camera over the man's truck. Now, when Matthew, our son, was little, his favorite thing was to look at clouds and try to pick out images of things. Horses and piggies and donkeys and camels, and that looks like our house and things like that. That's got God's glory in it. When rays would come out through it, sun rays would shine through it. Dad, that's God's power shining through it. Yep, you're right, son, it is. But I'll tell you what. If I was fighting wrestling with principalities and powers, I would want that to be on my side, is what I would want. I would want, now that may be one of the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That could be one of them. I don't know. But it sure looks like one or the other to me. Now, again, this is just a security camera image that he got an alert on his phone that something was outside on his truck, and that's what he saw. Okay, so he's looking at that going, honey, look at this, as an angel. And they, of course, interviewed him, and he said, I don't care what everybody thinks. I believe that's an angel on my truck. I'm going to ride to work tomorrow with an angel on my truck. That's just that's what he thought. It's what he believed in. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Is it? And again, you have to ask the question. If you say, oh, I don't believe that's real, I think that was, there's no way. If you say there's no way that's real, I'll call you a liar. Now, if you say, I believe it's not real, then that's fine. You can believe it's not real. If you say there's no way that can be real, I will call you a liar. Because there is a way that it can be real. We are told to be careful to entertain strangers, for we might be entertaining angels unaware. They can and will present themselves to us in whatever form they deem necessary. The good guys. I'm talking about the good angels. So if you say, there's no way that that could be possible, I will call you a liar. If you just say, I don't believe it's true, then you have your right to believe it's not true. I believe it could be possible. Now, I got another one here. Let's take a look at this one. 2015, Budapest, Hungary. It's where Zsa and Eva Gabor were from, the Hungarian sisters, the Gabor sisters. I love you, darling. There was a man walking down a trail, and what caught his attention was this bright orb in front of him. And he was focused on that. What he didn't see in the little car path in front of him was this spindly armed creature on the grass. He didn't notice that. He took the picture with a Samsung Galaxy S5. He sent the picture to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. They examined it for traces of being photoshopped. According to MUFON, the photo appears to be real. Now, there's something that I see in this picture that in the video that I saw it from, they didn't say anything about it. It appears this thing is carrying something in these two appendages, like a small box, loaf of bread or something. And but apparently the image of the little gray spindly armed creature, apparently that image is real. In other words, it was not photoshopped on there. There is no, and you can tell. Anybody who's worked with Photoshop, no matter how good you are, there's always, you leave a trace that you have, that there's been something done to the picture. And anybody who can zoom in close enough to certain areas can find the trace where the picture had been hacked. That much I do know. And I'm not a photograph artist. I'm not an artist at all. It's not that I don't believe in it. It's just that I don't believe I can do it. Okay? So I don't. But that to me was interesting as well. What are these creatures? And ask yourself a question. You know, we're expecting aliens and devils to all look like one of three or four things. But ask yourself the question, when it comes to the things that are both on the land and the things that are in the ocean in this world, how many different ways do they appear? Literally hundreds of thousands of differing ways that they appear, ways that they look, the number of arms and legs that they have, where their eyes are, where their face is, what they can, some animals can breathe out their butt. Yep, they can do it. Okay? And that's a survival thing. So imagine now if not that God created the angelic realm to look like the earth. The earth, remember, is only the shadow of the angelic realm. What we see on earth is only a three-dimensional representation of what we could see if we could see into the fourth dimension. So we're the shadow. They're the real. And I believe that in God's creation, in his angelic creation, an innumerable company of angels, there can very, very, very likely be an innumerable amount of apparitions, appearances, ways that they appear. Now, young lady is having her picture snapped on a trail. They don't know that anybody else is around. At a closer look, they find this figure here. Now, anybody ever seen this image before? Or not the girl. Okay. But has anybody ever seen an image either in real life or in a photograph of a very thin, gaunt man dressed in a dark suit, white shirt, dark tie? Very pale skin and either very few or little or no facial features. There was a character invented on a website called Creepypasta back several years ago in the early days of the internet that a lot of adolescent young people went to. And some guy asked somebody to invent a character. So they invented, here's a close-up of the guy. Now, I will say, if this is Photoshop, that's pretty good to be able to put the branches and the shrubbery and all this noise in front of and behind him. That's pretty good. That's pretty good artistry. And I'm not saying that's impossible, because I've seen people do things about as good as that. From scratch. But anyway, so on this website called Creepypasta, they invented this character called Slender Man. Tall, as I said, very tall, legs, very long legs, very long, overly long arms, very gaunt appearance. Very skinny and always seems to be like a harbinger of death or associated with death. And so what people did was they did use Photoshop, and they took images of young teenagers who were obviously in some form of distress, running away from something, and then they would Photoshop in the background an image of Slender Man. So obviously a lot of these pictures are fake. This one here These people are supposedly freaking out because there is Slender Man there. His arms reached out and so on. Here is a, I think they made a movie called The Slender Man. I have not seen it. And I think that this might be, this picture here might be part of that movie. This one is probably photoshopped in. Shows Slender Man standing either on this tree that's fallen over this creek, or standing just behind it, or floating in the air right behind it, or whatever. Who knows? And I wouldn't normally pay any attention to this. The movie Phantasm. One of the scariest movies I ever saw as a teenager. Scared me to death. And there is the character in this movie, the mortician at the cemetery where the movie takes place. There's like a gateway and a portal to hell with all these little hooded midgets. And this tall man, he's called the tall man from Phantasm. The boy hero in the movie catches a glimpse of him one night. They had buried some people, one person that he knew, and he snuck over to the cemetery late at night only to see this guy, the tall, slender man guy, with two coffins underneath his arms like this, loading them in the back of the van. Like he's like super strong, got these big long arms. And I can remember either from the movie itself or one of the promos for the movie, I'm gonna get you, boy. You know, the Slender Man guy says he's the evil character in this movie Phantasm. Okay. And these silver balls that fly around and they stick in people's heads and drill in their brains and kills them, and I guess it sucks their life force out of them or whatever. It's been the 80s since I've seen this movie. But that tall man guy and whoever created the creepypasta character said that was one of the guys he had in mind when he created the character. However, could the imagery, even though there is fakery on the internet, could the imagery in some people's minds not be based upon a real source? What scared you before you closed your eyes at night and was finally able to go to sleep? What was it that scared you? With me, it was Charles Manson and Momo the Monster back in the early 70s in Missouri. We had heard of Charles Manson and how many people he killed and how he took their blood and wrote things on the wall like Helter Skelter, Little Piggies. These are all lyrics from Beatles songs, by the way. And so I kept being afraid that they were going to let, Helter Skelter. I just drew a blank. Anyway, I was afraid that they were going to, Charles Manson, that they were going to let him out of prison and he was going to come up out of the woods behind my house and kidnap me and kill me and write stuff with my blood. That scared me to death. Or that Momo the monster would come up. We lived on the edge of the woods, and that Momo the monster would be coming up out of our woods, and it would reach into my window and grab me and pull me away. I mean, those things, that they had me horrified when I was a child. So even if people's imagination conjures up, now listen to this now, even if people's imagination conjures up an image of something to be feared, something that causes fear in them, something to be warned about, does that necessarily mean that that entity cannot be real? Imposing its very imagery into the minds of mass groups of people everywhere. I mean, we have all these different ways that this Slender Man shows up. The movie Phantasm and the artwork. Is this a real picture of a Slender Man showing up in the background? I haven't spoken about this yet, but we'll have Men in Black. There was, and here's why I'm saying this, there was an actual murder that took place that was, I would say, performed by Slender Man and two of his human agents. This article, Slender Man, creator speaks on stabbing. I'm deeply saddened. Eric Knudsen, the man who created the Slender Man character that reportedly inspired a stabbing in Wisconsin, gave a statement to the media. The creator of Slender Man, which I don't believe that he is the actual creator of this imagery. I think it goes way back, way back. The creator of Slender Man said he is deeply saddened by the brutal stabbings in Wisconsin that were allegedly carried out by two girls in the name of spectral internet character. On Monday, the two 12-year-old girls appeared in a courtroom in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and were charged with stabbing their friend 19 times during a game of hide-and-seek in the woods. They allegedly carried out the attack to gain favor with Slender Man, a ghoulish character they had read about on Creepypasta, a site where users contribute scary stories. Slender Man was created in 2009 by Eric Knudsen, who posted images of the character as Victor Surge in a thread called Create Paranormal Images. On the humor website somethingawful.com, soon afterwards, Slender Man became a popular presence in online stories and spooky YouTube videos, turning it into a bogeyman familiar to many kids who spend time on the internet. Knudsen responded on Wednesday to the media attention centered around his creation. I am deeply saddened by the tragedy in Wisconsin, and my heart goes out to the families of those affected by this terrible act, he said in a statement to the media. His publicist wrote that Knudsen would be giving no media interviews on the topic. Now, an original article. Here's what happened. Let's see here. The Wisconsin girl who was stabbed 19 times by two classmates, allegedly to please the fictional horror character Slenderman, says if she wasn't brutally attacked in 2014, she wouldn't be who she is today. Peyton Lutner, 17, was repeatedly knifed on May 31st, more than 5 years ago, by Morgan Geyser and Anissa Wire. The three girls were all 12 years old. The two lured Lutner into a wooded area in Waukesha, where they repeatedly attacked her because, as they later told authorities, they felt they had to kill Lutner to become Slender Man's proxies or servants and protect their families. Now, the oldest or the lead girl, which is this girl here, she convinced this girl to become friends and then pretend to become friends with this girl. And this was premeditated first degree murder. Because girl number one said that she had been in contact with Slender Man. Now, what does that tell you? A, he doesn't exist. She's psycho. B, he does exist. She's not psycho, but she's hearing from a familiar spirit posing himself as a man in black, shadow man type character. And these characters, whether it's Slender Man, the man in black, the tall man, the, what else did I say? The shadow men, shadow figures, their stories, pictures, and videos go back several years, where these entities showed up to instill absolute fear. You see, girl, the main killer, girl number one, this is girl number two. The main killer was told by Slender Man himself that he might kill her family and somebody else's family. How about if I kill your friend's family too? If you don't kill Peyton Lutner, girl number three. So they spent quite a while befriending this girl and then one day luring her into the woods, where when they finally got her in the woods under the guise of playing hide and seek, they repeatedly stabbed her 19 times and left her for dead. And I think that neither one of these girls were actually imprisoned. I think both these girls, because of their age, 12 years old, they couldn't try them as adults. Couldn't really try them as juveniles. But they took a plea, some kind of insanity plea, and their trial basically was, how many years are we going to put them in the loony bin? Now, what I'm telling you is whether these characters, these individual characters are made up, the spirits behind them are real. Let me give you another example. Who remembers back in 2017, 2018, I was talking about the Mothman from Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The Mothman was a character, a humanoid figure that had long wings. It spread them out, but it didn't seem to need to use them to fly. And it would make appearances to various people. And people would see it. They would freak out. They'd try to run from it, do all kinds of weird things and so on. And at the time, and they actually made a movie. John Keel wrote the book called The Mothman Prophecies because back in the mid-60s, right before Christmas, they had a silver bridge. It's one of these old type bridges. Some of them are still around. You can see them crossing various rivers in and around the Mississippi River Valley. And this particular river, or this particular bridge, joined West Virginia with Ohio. So it was a major thoroughfare. Well, on, I think it was Christmas Eve, the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a Mothman. This bridge collapsed, killing, guess how many people? 46 people. I don't have any sound effects. 46 people. And they had it in their mind that this Mothman was making appearances as sort of an apparition of an evil thing that was going to happen. And the man who wrote the book about the Mothman Prophecies, a movie was made about it. Richard Gere starred in it. And John Keel was his name, as the writer. And John Keel had been contacted while he's investigating this story about the Silvery Bridge collapsing and about the Mothman appearances. He's being contacted by a man, a slender man type man by the name of Indrid Cold. That was his name. Indrid Cold. He was in a suit that didn't fit, oversized hat, pale appearance, very little facial features. It's almost like he didn't fit, his body didn't fit inside the suit, and his, it's like his spirit didn't fit inside the skin cover that they had for him. And a lot of people who have had contact with men in black, and I can tell you that there is some evidence that this picture right here is an actual photograph of two men in black going into a hotel room to talk to somebody who just had a recent encounter with UFO or something like that. And these men in black basically go and tell them, don't talk about this to anybody. And everybody who says they have an encounter with a man in black, they say, these people don't look like us. So they kind of do. But they're not shaped like us. Their hands, their fingers are longer than our fingers. And when you go to shake their hand, it's like they don't know how to shake hands. And they're just weird, weird people. And every one of them that shows up, you know, forget about Will Smith and what's his name in the movies, Men in Black. Forget about that. Because these Slenderman type characters or caricatures do and have been making appearances throughout the world now for at least 100 years, maybe more. Let's see, you're going the wrong way. Discard. So, anyway, do I believe that stuff is possible? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. As we turn to Joel. While we turn to the book of Joel, my prayer for you is that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, your friends. Remember, we will not have our Wednesday evening service and we've only been doing this. It's a sort of a Bethel tradition. We just give people the time to spend with their family on Wednesday night, because people now have split families. Let's go over here Wednesday night, then we can go over here on Thursday and so on. And that's how a lot of families do it. So, but anyway, by the way, we are going to feed people in Turkana this week as America celebrates her wealth, the amount of throwaway food that we have, the vast technology that we have, the infrastructure that we have, the things that we have at our hands. We are going to celebrate that by doing a feeding in Turkana starting this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They will not be celebrating Thanksgiving then. They do have, I think, a Thanksgiving day in Kenya. I don't know why or where, but just continue to pray for them. Pray for the feeding that we do there in Kenya, that we could do it for God's glory, God's kingdom, that we could do it for God's best. All right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, in Joel chapter 2, just a few moments we'll spend in here. We were talking about, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, what kind of nation could that even be? What kind of nation would that even have anything to do with? Let me see what I read something today. Let's see, it was in Ezekiel, Daniel. It was in Hosea. And, man, I just about flipped out when I read this. I probably won't find it now, but let me see if I can do a little search here for it, because I knew that it went right along with our study of Joel and the trumpets and sounding the alarm and things like that, which I believe is associated with the translation of God's people into heaven. And let's see, was it Hosea? Was it Hosea 5 maybe? Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephesians 5:8, or excuse me, Hosea 5:8. And let's see what it says after that. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. And when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away, and I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. I was reading that this morning, and I was getting happy about it. Now I can't remember why. But anyway, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spreadeth upon the mountains. This is where he gets into the people, the nation that's coming, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. If I remember right, that is exactly what he said in Joel chapter 1, in the chapter before that. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, even in the days of your letters? Of your fathers, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation, four generations. And then he said, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, two of them. And that which the locust hath left, the canker worm hath eaten. And that which hath the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten, four. Four different worms, breeds of worms coming down to destroy the things that they have planted, to destroy the things that they have worked on, to make a spoil of the things that are in their land. They're going to eat up all of their wealth. They're going to eat up all of their health. They're going to eat up all of their stability. They're going to spoil it, every bit of it. So this nation now, he says, a fire devoureth before them. And behold, them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing will. Oh, Pastor, I got plans for a bunker. Man, you haven't seen my plans, but I got plans for a bunker. And we're going to put in enough food to last for 7 years. Because that's how much food we'll need to last for 7 years, right? Because that's how long the tribulation's going to be. 7 years. We got enough food to last 7 years. Not enough water. And I've heard of people doing that. Now he said the appearance of them. Get this now. This is the kind of nation that he's describing. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they keep, or shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Now notice verse 6. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they shall, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. That's crazy. It leads you to believe, if you believe the literalness of the scripture, that this is not talking about the Canadian army, the Royal Mounted Canadian Police. It's not talking about the Russian warriors. It's not talking about the Norwegians. Not talking about the Canadians. It is not talking about any of them. It is telling you they are coming from the north. And it tells you that in Joel chapter 3 without a doubt. But they're coming up out of the north. They are a hideous nation. They are not a nation of humans. Therefore, they cannot be negotiated with. They cannot be bribed. They cannot be talked out of what they're appearing to do. They can only do what they're sent to do. And after that, God will get rid of them. But that kind of army there, again, is not a human army. It is an army of a mystical race of people, the likes of which have never been seen on this earth. Mm-mm-mm. Are we going to see that? Well, I don't know. We'll keep looking into the scriptures and find out. It's good to be with you today. I may come here tomorrow, do a brief Thanksgiving PMO. There will be no service again tomorrow night, but why not a little Thanksgiving PMO? I might do that, so be watching for it. Depends on how I feel tomorrow, all right? God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. You got any comments on the pictures that you saw, send them to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. I will take a look at those and maybe tell you what I think, all right? But for you, you think Bible.